Who have you modeled your life after? Who do you model your life after? Who's your role model? Who do you want to be like? Who is a man or a woman that you say, wow, that is someone I want to be? We all do it, whether consciously or not. There's someone that we look up to and say, yeah, I want to be like that person. Or it's usually a bunch of people. Like, I like this, and I like that, and I think of myself as this. And oftentimes, it's not even an actual, like, person. Sometimes it's a character on a TV show or a movie, such as The Power of Story. Or sometimes it's not even an actor. Sometimes it could be an animation. For example, for me, I think pivotal role models in my life growing up, two major ones, there's a lot, are totally fiction. One was the show Babylon 5. Go ahead and put this up, Drayton. The best show ever made. You guys are like, oh, you like Star Trek and Star Wars. I'm like, yeah, they're okay. Can't hold a candle to Babylon 5. 5 years, space opera, good versus evil, amazing show. A guy with peacock hair. How many shows do you know with a guy with peacock hair? Anyone? None, right? That's how unawesome every other show is. Phenomenal show, right? I learned so much growing up about this. And the main guy who did this, J. Michael Straczynski, he wrote all of season 3, all of season 4, and all but one episode of season 5. Unheard of in the world of television. That's like 24 episodes that he wrote. Incredible. So it's J. Michael Straczynski, my favorite author as I'm going through this. I just love the work that he does. I can tell you, a lot of my role models came from this show. But you guys know me as a comic book character, and you're like, oh, so he likes Superman or like Captain America. No, of course not. I'm not that cool. One of my favorite comic book characters is Hawkman. Go ahead and put this one up, right? Everyone like Hawkman, right? Like, it's a man, and he's got wings like a hawk. That's awesome. And he's a historian, right? So he's smart. He's not dumb. But he's also like where everyone else is like, oh, I don't know what we should do here. And he's like, I do. And he gets his mace out, and he's like, let's go, like, break through the doors and beat everyone up, right? Like, he is just a man of action and a man of knowledge. Right, so these are two things that have formed me. I don't know if you're disturbed enough yet, but they really have. They really have. Going through and reading this, and this isn't even a man. It's just it's a drawing. But such is the power of story. I've got personal role models in my life that I've grown up with as a kid and as an adult now that I look after and I want to model my life after. You do too. You do too. Whether consciously or unconsciously, we all do it. Who have you modeled your life after? And why should believers be careful about the people that we follow? Because that's essentially what you're doing, is you're following them. Why should believers be careful about who we choose to follow, whether consciously or unconsciously? We turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And the header there says, David's last words. These are the last words David ever spoke, which might make you think, aha, it's the end of 2 Samuel. Ha, but you'd be wrong. As I've told you a few times, 2 Samuel does this weird thing from chapter 21 on where it's totally chronologically out of order. Everything's a jumbled mess. And so next week, Palm Sunday, which I think the last story that we get from David will work very well for Palm Sunday. That will be the last time we're in 2 Samuel. Easter, we'll do a first-person sermon. And then shortly after that, we're going to move on to 1 Corinthians. And we'll preach through that. But for now, we're told these are the last words that David spoke. Why should Christians be careful about who we follow? Read along in your Bibles. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of those red chairback Bibles. I didn't go through that. And if you don't own a Bible, take one of those Bible's home with you, read it, put your name in it, it's our gift to you. We want you to get in the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. So if you don't have a Bible, take one of those red track back Bibles home with you. David said this in chapter 23, verse 1. These are the last words of David, the declaration of David, son of Jesse, the declaration of the man raised on high, the one anointed by God of Jacob. This is the most delightful of Israel's songs. So the text sets us up. These are the last words David ever spoke, and he did it in a song, which is awesome. I don't know about you guys, but when I go out, I don't know of many people who go in song. I think I want to go down singing, right? Like, some people want to go down swinging. I want to go down singing. There's not many people that do that. I don't know how I'm going to go down, and I don't know if I know that I'm going to be dying, but I want to go out singing. It says he sings. This is King David, the man that God had called to be the king of Israel, not only to be the king of Israel, to be the blessing to all nations, the one who out of him Messiah would come, out of his household, out of his descendants. And it says, the one anointed by God of Jacob, this is the most delightful of Israel's songs. We're told these last thing he ever says. Probably important. Have you ever considered what the last thing you want to come out of your lips? Other, maybe a song, right? I don't know. More concrete for us, what do you want written on your tombstone? Have you thought about that? Some of you have. Many of you haven't. What do you want written on your tombstone that's true? The awesomest man in the world. And it can only be like, what, five words maybe? What do you want to be remembered by? When people come by and your family and your descendants come by to look at your tomb, what do you want on engraved on your tombstone? What do you want? It's important. The last words that David says. It's kind of like the last words of a book. Have you ever read a book and like the last page ruins the whole thing? Oh my goodness. It's the most frustrating thing. You're like 500 pages. You're like, this is incredible. You get to the last page and you just undid the brilliance of everything I just read. This is the worst book I've now read. The last words of a book are important. The last words that you speak are important. It's probably the thing people are going to remember almost the most in your life. David chooses his last words to be a warning. We'll see that as we go on. Verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. So the Spirit of God fills David, and he speaks God's words. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules the people with justice, who rules in the fear of God, is like the morning light when the sun rises on a cloudless morning, the glisten of rain on sprouting grass. What a beautiful image. If you're a good leader, or to have a good leader, or to be under a good leader, or to follow a good leader, it is as beautiful an image as the one who is like the morning light when sun rises on a cloudless morning and there's dew on the ground. Have you seen that before? Right? Or sometimes up here, you see it when we've had a really cold morning and the frost is on every little piece of weed on the ground and the sun comes up and you're just like, those are weeds that I'm looking at, but wow, how beautiful, how amazing. He's saying a good leader is beautiful. We understand what that is, right? Like the image, for me, when I came here 7 years ago, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I got to go see Sleeping Bear Dunes. You got to go see the sleep. It's the most wonderful thing you've ever seen in your entire life. So I'm like, well, okay. So we go, and I don't know where I'm. No one said, oh, just you have to do this thing. I'm just, we go there, and so we go to this sand crawl thing, and I go up a dune, and I'm like, I don't know how long this goes for, and I didn't bring enough water, so okay, I saw sand, good job. And then we do the drive, so we stop at every single stop, and we get out, and we're like, oh, it's high up, and I can see, you know, some lakes and stuff. That's pretty. So by stop number 7 on that drive, I am really cynical. I'm super cynical. I'm just like, okay, you people have never seen anything in your entire life before because this is the most beautiful thing. So then now there's a whole walk I've got to go up to, and I'm like, okay, fine. So we're going on that walk, and I'm all, and then we stop. And the walk comes over to the top of the sand dune, overlooking all of Lake Michigan, on a clear day, blue water as far as you can see, sand contrasting with that. It is the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. Still is. And I was just, amazing. This is what they were talking about. Why didn't they tell me just come here? Go to stop number 8. It's amazing. That those of you who've seen it, that is what David says, what God is saying through David, is what a good leader is like. It is beautiful. You all understand that innately. If you have any inkling of political ideology, one way or the other, right? When your party is not the president of the United States, how do you feel for those 4 to 8 years? You're like, oh, the world's coming to an end. And then what happens when your party gets into the office? You're like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, yeah, we're saved, right? That's what it's what we all feel like. If you're one way or the other, it's what you feel like when the other party is in office. You feel so frustrated. And then finally, when yours comes in, oh, whew, sigh of relief. I can finally relax. The world's not going to blow up tomorrow. We understand what that's like. That's not fully what David's talking about here. That's just a shadow of what it is. But you also understand it in your personal lives. Those of you who've had bad bosses, so any of you who've ever had a job, and you're suffering under a bad boss, right? And he or she is just terrible and miserable and awful, and you're like, I've got to quit, I've got to quit, I've got to quit, I've got to quit. And finally they leave or they get fired. And you're like, whoa, what? And then a new boss comes in, and he or she isn't a monster. How does that feel? Oh, thank you. Thank you for not being a monster and treating me like a human being. No, thank you. It's just a sigh of relief. Wow, it's a beautiful thing. You're a beautiful man. You're a beautiful woman. Oh, it is. We've all had bad bosses. We've all had bad bosses. And when a good one comes in, it is a beautiful thing. That's what God is saying to David. It's a beautiful thing to have a good leader, to follow a good leader, to model your life after a good leader. Why should Christians be cautious about who we follow? David says this in verse 5. He says, is it not true my house is with God? Isn't it true that my house, that my leadership has been beautiful? For he has established a permanent covenant with me, ordered and secured in every detail. Will he not bring about my whole salvation and my every desire? David's saying to whoever's gathered around him, he says, isn't that true with my house? God had promised through David the Messiah would come. There would always be a Davidic king, that all nations would be blessed through Abraham's seed and now through David, more specifically. That the Messiah would come, he would make the world the way it ought to be, not the way it is. And he says, will he not bring about my whole salvation and my every desire? I know we read that and go desire and we think sinful desires. That's not what he says. What do you really want out of life? What do you really want more than anything else? I want peace. I want comfort. I want rest. I want no more taxes. I want no more tears in my eyes. I want to stop seeing my friends' relationships break apart. I want to see children who love their parents and parents who nurture their children. I want to see the end of cancer. I want to see the end of war. I want to see the end of strife and of disunity. That's everyone's desire. And David, speaking prophetically, he sees into the future and he sees that from his house, David sees through a glass dimly. He doesn't see perfectly. But he understands that the Messiah will come, the forever king, the one who will end all war, who will wipe every tear from our eyes, the one who will put an end to sickness. We know that that's Jesus Christ. David says, isn't my house beautiful? Of course it is. God made an everlasting covenant with David, that through him and only through the house of David, the root of Jesse, would come this Messiah who would make everything. He's saying, follow him. Whoever you model your life after, whoever you select as king, Israel, whoever you desire to follow, whoever happens to be king, decide to model your life after the one who is from the house of David. Follow after the one who loves God. Follow after this coming Jesus Christ, the one who will save you from your sins, redeem your souls, bring in a new heaven and a new earth where there is no more strife, is no more anguish and anger and pain and suffering. So if he ended it there, wow, motivational, right? But that's not where he ends it. He makes his last dying breath of warning. He gives us this beautiful picture. Model your life after the Messiah who's coming. Model your life after a godly leader. Model your life after those who are following after God. A good leader is a beautiful thing. Wow, and then he dies. No. He manages to get out a last warning. His last words on earth are a warning to all. Verse 6, but all the wicked are like thorns raked aside. They can never be picked up by hand. The man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear. They will be completely burned up on the spot. He said, all of the wicked. And wicked is a technical term. We tend to think, oh, wicked, so that means like ISIS and Hitler, right? No, it includes them, but it's more than that. It is a life that is oriented away from God, a life that doesn't care about following God, who God is, faithfulness to God. It doesn't even care about God. So it could be someone who is morally, generally, in a general sense, good, right? And who doesn't like murder and cheat and steal and everything, but a good person. But they could still be wicked, according to the Bible, because their life is oriented away from God and not following after God and not looking to please God. And so he says, this is the life of the wicked. They're like thorns. They're just raked aside into a pile. You can't pick them up by hand because it'll hurt. If you follow them, you reach down and pick it up. Ow, that hurts. You can't touch them without like poking it with a metal rod. You have to use a rake, rake it up, and eventually everything they do, everything they accomplish, every difference they make in this world will be burned up in fire. It will matter not. It will be nothing. It will come to nothing. And then when he says that, he dies. That's his last word. I mean, can you imagine his family? Can you imagine the Israel when they hear this? You know, what were the last words of David? And like, wow, a good leader is beautiful. Like a sunrise on a cloudless morning when the dew is covering the ground and there's a million diamonds shining like the sun. Oh, it's so beautiful, yes. And we should follow after the house of David through whom God will bless all peoples with the Messiah. We should follow godly leaders, yes. And he says, and if you choose to follow leaders who are not godly, if you choose to select leaders who do not follow after God, if you choose to model your life after people who hate God, everything they do and everything you do won't matter in the end. It's like being burned up like a bunch of thorns on the ground. Why should we be careful about who we follow, about who we model our lives after? We need to be careful about who we model our lives after, because the godless and their achievements will result in nothing in the end, because the achievements of the godless are nothing. And if you follow after them, you find out you've wasted your life. We all model our lives after someone. It doesn't matter how old we are, young or old. I mean, I know, I see Clint Eastwood movies and I'm like, right there. That's who I want to be. That's who I am. I don't take nothing from nobody. Right? I'm a one-man army. All right, like, I get it. I get it. But David here, he's saying, if you are not following people who are following after God, and as we understand it, following after Jesus Christ, not just in their intellects, not just with lip service, but they're modeling their whole life after him. Not perfectly, but if you're not following people like that, if you're not modeling your life after people modeling their life after Jesus, the work that you do, it all turns into nothing. It all gets burned up. It's like thorns, and thorns hurt people. Don't be a thorn. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go ahead and throw this up here, Drayton. He said, be imitators of me as I am also of Christ. Paul is saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? So he's not saying like, okay, super spiritualized everyone. Every person's terrible. There are no role models. Blah, you can only follow after Jesus and model your life. No, he understood. He understood that we don't live in a world like that. And we've all said stuff like that before if we've been in Christian circles for any amount of time. But he says, as I am following Christ, follow me. Model your life after me. And if I'm not, don't follow that aspect of it. You know godly men and women. A lot of them are probably your grandmas and aunts and moms, right? Pastor Bruce and I were talking about that just before service. Model your life after them, the people who love Christ. And it's not just the pastor or an elder or the missionary. They're your bosses and your brothers and sisters, your friends, even characters in TV shows. David's warning is model it after them, or everything you do and everything they do won't matter in the long run and actually will hurt people. Because if they touch you, they're going to get hurt. It'll corrupt them. Going back to myself, that show Babylon 5, loved that show, still do. Still, I think, the greatest thing that's ever produced on television, in my humble but correct opinion. J. Michael Straczynski, the writer, so I'm like, this guy is amazing. I'm following everything he ever does. So he wrote comic books, and he wrote more TV shows, so I'm like following everything he's doing. And as it's going on, I'm watching like some of this stuff, and the more he writes, the more antagonistic he is towards Christianity. So it's not just like he's ambivalent about it. He is like antagonistic against Christ followers, against the church, against theism, all that stuff. And it gets to the point where I'm reading this stuff, and finally it was like after the course of trying to hang in there for like 15 years, I'm like, I am done. I am never reading anything else you put out ever again. I don't care how good everyone says it is. Because it was just like, I can't like read someone who hates me, right, at the end of the day. And I can't read, I don't want to read these stories and become like these characters with people who hate me. And so I gave up. I just, you know, it's over. It's not wrong for me to read the stories and say, wow, that's a terrible way to portray Christians. But it'd be bad for me to model my life after them. Ah, what about Hawkman? Ah, he's a comic book character. He never goes bad. You know the problem with Hawkman is he has a lot of head knowledge, but he just busts into place and like cracks open skulls and he never thinks about anything. There's no wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. If you're if you have a lot of knowledge but you don't know how to properly identify it, then you're hurting people. If you don't know how to properly use knowledge, you're hurting people. For example, if I had a missile, right, and I'm like, well, knowledge would say I know how to set off a missile, right? Wisdom would say, don't shoot down your neighbors. But knowledge would just say, well, I know how to shoot it off, so I'm going to shoot it off. Okay, you're all dead, right? Like that's foolishness. I can have all the knowledge in the world, but if there's no wisdom, the proper application of that knowledge to be moral, to be good, to protect and serve my fellow humanity, then it hurts people in the end. Then I'm nothing, I'm worse than a thorn. And all the work that I do, eventually when King Jesus returns to earth, will come to nothing. It will be burned up in the fire. Everything I've ever accomplished won't matter in the kingdom of heaven. What kind of person do you want to be? Consider, which kingdom do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the kingdom of man, which is flashy and fun and you know, it just doesn't take names, and it just cracks open skulls and it gets things accomplished and it's big and flashy? Are you following the kingdom of man, which is essentially like cotton candy and it tastes sweet on the lips but it's hard on the bowels? Or are you following after the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the line of David, the one who is coming to wipe every tear from our eyes, to take away all of our pain, to set up the new heaven and the new earth, the one that will comfort all of our pain, that will take away sickness and disease, and that will take all the sorrow away from our hearts? Which kingdom are you following? Who are you modeling your life after? Are you modeling your life after a truly beautiful leader? Or leaders, or beautiful individuals, or just ones that have the flash, that have the glitz and the glam, the cotton candy leaders, who everyone loves the taste of, but no one really likes the results a few hours later. Who are you following? Who are you modeling your life after? You should choose to follow godly leaders. Leaders who are striving, imperfectly as they are, to follow after Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who lived not to have the world serve him, but came to serve others, the one who laid his life down because of love, the one who shed his blood so that whoever believes will be called sons and daughters of God Most High, have all of their sins forgiven, be welcomed into God's family, and rule with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth when he comes again. Who are you modeling your life after? What impact do you want your life to have? You should follow godly leaders, because godless leaders' achievements will result in nothing. They will all go away. Imitate beauty. Imitate beauty. Let's pray. Father, we reflect on David's last words. An imperfect life as David had. He knew that only following you could make any difference in this world. Lord, I pray for this congregation as we do work outside of our church, and I pray that we continue to do work outside of this church, that we reach out in our community with the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ, with the boldness of Jesus, with the love Jesus had for the unlovely. That, Lord, you help us to take on his humility and his kindness and his grace. And Lord, humble us to realize that, Lord, we have all modeled parts of our lives after people we should not have. Search our hearts and know us, O God. Take any evil and wicked thing within us and change it. We know that we can't do this on our own, so we ask for help from God the Holy Spirit to conform us to the likeness of Christ, to help us to take on his character so that we can see you work through us and change this dark and dying world into something of beauty. Lord, work through us. Work in spite of us. Convict us. And help us to celebrate the beauty of the gospel every single day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.